here, and you can adjust it and move it out the way. I have a boom that'll clamp to the desk, and then I can take it down. Mm-hmm. I don't use it. Yeah. But I like Robert's setup. Did me and him and Honoré and Herman.
Yeah, I haven't show. Listened to it yet.
I think it'll go up Friday. Hmm? It's probably going to go up Friday, huh? Oh, he sent
it to that's right, you recorded that. Okay, yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah. What movies did y'all do?
We did Born to Fight.
Born to Fight.
We did the 1936 Born to Fight.
There was a 36 Born to Fight?
Yes, black and white, naturally. It's about a boxer who refuses to take a dive for the mob. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on the run, meets up with a band of singing hobos.
Wait, are you sure this isn't Pulp Fiction?
It's not.
It's not.
Okay. Meets up with a band of singing hobos, and he takes the tiniest one, and they run off together, and he trains the little guy how to be a fighter.
Okay.
And he becomes this big fighter, big famous baby face, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it comes out that the guy on the run is his trainer, and he was like the super light heavyweight.
Champion.
So everybody's like, ah! And then right at the end, the reason he went on the run was because he punched a mobster and he thought it killed him. He thought the cops were after him. Turns out that guy's still alive. And then right at the end, that dude welches on a bet on the little guy's fight and gets killed, like, right outside the venue. So it wraps it all up. The movie's an hour long.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a nice little button on it.
It was a piece of shit. The second one...
Sounds like it.
The second one we watched, Born to Fight, is a Thai film by the guy who directed Ong Bak, Thai Warrior.
Okay.
And it featured... members of the Thai Olympic team from various disciplines choreographed in fight scenes where they did the thing that they did in the Olympics. Now there's a movie like this that came out in the 80s called Gymkata, where they had a gymnast fighting gymnastics style, and there's a big culmination in this
Not
town.
Not to be confused with Gymkhana.
What's Gymkhana?
Gymkhana is the guy that takes the cars, and by the time he's done with the course, the tires are gone.
With the Mustang.
With little cars or whatever.
Gymkhana.
Gymkhana.
Yeah, he gets into this fighting tournament where his style is gymnastics. And it culminates in the center of this town in like Kazakhstan or whatever. But for some reason, the center of the town has this big pommel horse. And so he gets on the pommel horse and he beats all this army of warriors because they can't get to him because he's kicking their ass with the pommel horse.
They went with a pommel horse and not the parallel bars?
They're there.
They're there too?
The parallel bars and a high bar. All that shit. Yeah, it's terrible. Born to Fight is fucking awesome. Born to Fight, like the first 20 minutes is kind of slow.
Yeah.
And then it's just most fun. There were moments where we were all like in tears. We were laughing so hard. Because something ridiculous happened, but something ridiculous that we just couldn't fucking believe they just pulled off happened. People died making this movie. Because in Thailand, they don't give a fuck about safety.
No, they don't.
But we were watching all the stunt outtakes, and we were just like, you have to be fucking kidding me. It was amazing.
Holy shit. By the way, I saw somebody shared a video, the ping pong festival video. Have you seen it yet? It's been out maybe a year on YouTube. It's got maybe 1.5 million views. All right, you got to see this. This is all Asian and it's fucking hilarious. T-Bob Abear shared it on Twitter.
It's a celebration of ping pong.
It's ping pong, but it's comedy. It's some awesome fucking ping pong, but it's fucking hilarious. Let's see if I can pull it up here. There we go. T-Bob shared it last night. Ping Pong Carnival, it's called. 2.3 million views. This is it right here. All right, let's back it up all the way. See all the crazy shit they do. It's not just trick shots. There's a lot of trick shots, but it's fucking... It gets...
So this is called Ping Pong Carnival.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah. Wait.
That's three. Okay. Wait.
Wait. It's like 3 minutes.
Well.
Be the ball.
Nice. Hold on, just send it to me, Jeremy.
Huh?
Just send it to me.
Oh, the groin, yeah. He's got the girlfriend to cut. The fans. It's just silly. It gets sillier and sillier as they go.
Yeah, just send it to me. Because Jeremy.
What?
Jeremy.
Been dork?
Jeremy. Hmm? Welcome to Dork!
Hey, it's me.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm Jeremy Wyatt.
And I'm Nick Moore. You're listening to Dork.
Yeah.
Episode 143 with Jeremy White.
Yeah.
He's the editor of RegStick, host of the RegStick podcast, and first time guest on Dork.
Popping my cherry.
Yeah, I got you on 6 minutes. That's a new record.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Here we go.
I got you right now. It's coming your way. Ping Pong Carnival. Check it out, folks. It is pretty fucking... It's endorsed by T-Bob Hebert, so it's got to be good.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
You know what T-Bob Hebert was played center for LSU football.
Okay.
He's the son of one Bobby Hebert.
Okay.
He's on radio.
Eh.
Here in Baton Rouge now?
No idea.
Sports radio? Great guy.
I only listen to 103.3.
Hilarious guy. Very smart dude. You think football players, Bobby Hebert's son, wouldn't be all that bright? No, this guy's top notch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He endorsed it.
Great.
Yeah.
What's up, Jeremy?
Not much, man. Have you recovered from Saturday's excursion to the Lamar Dixon
song? I'll never recover. As usual, when I have a guest on that is not James...
Yeah.
We're here to dork about something special, and today we're going to dork about survivalism.
Yeah.
The, for survivalism and preppers. Because we went to the National Survivalism and Prepper...
Expo. The seventh one.
The seventh expo at the Lamar Dixon Center.
In the 4-H building.
Yeah.
Yeah, we walked in, and I was like, well, at first it was like, because you got a lot of buildings up there, you got the livestock with them. You had people riding horses.
Yeah.
And you had a gun show going on in, like, in the gun building. Show.
Yeah. It was a confluence of humanity.
And you had the tens of people over at the Trump rally at the Capitol.
Yeah.
So that might have been why it wasn't so crowded when we got there.
Yeah. So we went to the Survivalism and Prepper. This was really, like, out of nowhere. Jeremy's like, hey, have you heard about this?
I did not hear about it until Friday. I was doing my radio gig with Clarence Pugs, and as I'm wrapping it up, Carl, the producer, says, hey, they got the Preppers Expo tomorrow. And I'm like, Doomsday Preppers? And they're like, yeah.
Like, so people that are like, the world's coming to an end, you better get ready.
So I immediately started messaging people. I'm like, holy shit, this is going on this weekend in Gonzales. And so Nick and I...
Jeremy's like, you want to go? I was like, fuck yeah, let's do this.
Let's do this.
So we went. Now, going into it, I had an assumption that there was going to be a certain clientele.
Me too.
That assumption was not wholly unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few of them.
Yeah.
But, for the most part, the booths inside broke down as follows.
Uh-huh.
I would say the number one thing that we saw the most of was knives.
Knives. Sunny Weathers, you missed it.
Yeah, so many knives. Some really nice knives, too.
Nice knives.
There are at least two booths where I was just completely taken by how awesome the knives were.
Yeah, they had some really, really nice ones there. Not just the Cutco knives, either.
No. The Cutco was there.
Yeah, Cutco was there.
But... I did ask the guy what would be the one knife to own in the apocalypse.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Okay. Hey, well, because one of the, chefs tell you you want a good chef's knife. That's your base. If you're going to have one knife, get a good chef's knife.
Right.
It's a good all around.
As long as you're looking to just survive in the kitchen.
Exactly.
But when you're looking to survive in the world, post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
The chef's knife may not be the best option.
Well, the college student turned knife salesman that was at the booth seemed to pull it out of his ass. He's like, this one. That's good. That's the good one to have. You're going to have one. It looked like a thinner chef's knife, like... In between a chef's knife and a Santoku, with that, a little bit of a serrated blade.
Oh, was that the kid from Cutco?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I'm a little late. He was at my house sharpening my knives.
That same kid?
Yeah, my wife used to sell Cutcos back before we were married, and we still have them. They're great knives.
Yeah.
They're worth the money. I mean, shit, they... But goddammit, they needed to be sharpened. I didn't realize it, how dull they were. He came, and I was getting ready to cook, and he came by, and he sharpened them, and I started slicing with them. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, you get that fillet knife nice and sharp. You can bend it and cut through a tomato.
I know which knife he was talking about, though. I think it was they call it the Rachel Ray. It was like a 5 or 6 inch blade with a little serrated. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Noted. You don't want to meet Rachel Ray out in the wastelands.
No, so Rachel Ray will cut a bitch.
With a very fancy pants knife.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so that was his suggestion. So knives were the first, number one thing.
Big time.
Two, prepared foods.
Yeah, I thought there would actually be more prepared foods out there.
There were a few.
There were a few.
But like, that was the next booth. But it wasn't close. Like there were knives everywhere.
Knives everywhere.
Especially for a venue that had a gun and knife show going on next door.
Right.
You know, and you're in a building that's going to charge a separate $10 cover.
Correct.
Like, I don't know if they brought two booths and just hit both of them.
They might have. Okay. They may have.
So knives, prepared foods, soap. Was the third most numerous. Soap everywhere.
Soap. Lots of smell goods.
Yeah, lots of smell goods. Essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
Lotions,
yeah.
Like, because if you're stank ass in the apocalypse, how are you going to populate the species?
Exactly.
You can't. I mean, you got to smell nice.
I mean, the Cialis and the Viagra only have so much of a shelf life.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're stocking up on porn, but then your EMP can take that out.
Yeah.
Unless you stock unless porn in, like, old in an school, EMP bag, yeah.
Or get some old school.
But then you might get
magazines.
Buried under your stash of porn mags, like that guy in New York, and they found him 6 months later. This.
I think that was fake.
Were you sure?
I think it was fake. That was up on the...
I didn't pay attention.
That was up yesterday morning. It was a fake story.
It was a fake story?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I don't doubt someone's been buried to death under a pile of porn.
Yeah.
But this story was categorically false.
Okay.
So, yeah. Third is soap.
Soap.
Fourth?
Yeah, the essential oils become even more essential.
Yeah, very essential oils.
Yeah.
Because you got to make your junk smell good or else no one's going
to
blow you.
Yeah, and you need the lotion to jerk off to help repopulate the species?
I don't know. Like, you're going to be by yourself a lot.
Yeah, you are.
I would think. So fourth was probably water treatment.
Yeah, there were at least two. Well, I mean, I think there might have been a few more, but the two that we went to.
Yeah.
The water treatment. The one guy.
Yeah, so there was one lady that went to the booth, and she did the filter. She showed us, and I took a shot of water that had been put through this filter.
Yeah.
It was very clean.
Very clean.
And they had a fish aquarium full of dirty water.
It was dirty. It was brackish, brown, whatever. Not brackish, not salty, but
just dirty.
Yeah.
And she pumped that through, like pond water.
It looked like the water that Chris Nakamoto handed the officials at East Feliciana Parish.
And they wouldn't
in charge
drink.
Of the water system. They were saying, hey, you're saying this is safe to drink. Will you drink it? And they refused to drink it.
Yeah. Naturally.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking filthy.
Yeah, yeah. Not like Marsanne Goldsby when she was press secretary for Mike Foster back in the day. Some environmentalists came up to her, and they brought her some fish that had been caught somewhere where there was apparently pollution.
Uh-huh.
And they fried it, and they said, hey, can you take this to Governor Foster so he can eat it? And he's like, screw that. She grabs it and just eats it right there. It was like a Homer Simpson moment with the fish. Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, so I took my shot of water, and then we walked over one booth to the booth next to him, which was also very cool. It was the only booth like this.
Yeah.
They had these little packets, these little gel packets.
Yeah, the little
with a disc
things.
Inside, and you pop the disc.
And it's exothermic reaction.
Yeah, she was very unclear about what it was, but it's apparently non-toxic.
Right.
But this gel pack immediately gets hot.
Yeah.
I haven't looked it up to see how it works yet, but that was very cool.
Yeah.
And
you could also freeze them if your refrigerator's still working
after
the apocalypse. You can make them cold, but hey.
Yeah, which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
But that was very cool. It was the only booth like that, unlike the electrostimulator.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why you'd need that in the apocalypse, but they had two of those, two booths.
They had
with the exact same shit.
They had two booths with the exact same shit. That's the other thing I was surprised to see a lot of was like, pain relief.
Yeah.
The electro thing, some other natural pain relief kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like,
and then stun guns.
Oh yeah, the guy with the top hat. Thugbusters.
Yeah,
Thugbusters.
Because apocalyptic wasteland, you've got it holds a charge for 3 months.
Wow.
He says so. Okay. You got a 3 months worth of charge after.
Yeah.
There's no more electricity.
But really, what he was demonstrating was just an everyday thing that you could use in your own personal safety. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. But back to the gel pack lady.
The gel pack lady. Yeah.
We go over to see this lady after. And her husband and her baby was
after
also
the
there,
dirty water.
But she did most of. She was the real pitch man.
Yeah, the baby was just in the back rolling around.
Yeah, on the floor.
Yeah.
So we're telling her about. Oh, we just tried the water. And he goes, oh yeah, that we saw her come in and she filled the tank up with water from like the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then went outside, got some dirt, and mixed that in there. So it wasn't real dirty.
No.
You know.
No, but at least it looked. It was a good presentation.
It was. The presentation was great.
Yeah.
Dirty water went in. Clean water came out.
Exactly.
But then we talked to the other water guy, who was a freaking
bonafide,
like a potable water scientist. I forget his exact term for what he did.
Not a hydrologist,
yeah.
But
like he had a lab for years, and then after he retired, now he goes around the world to different natural disasters, and sets up these huge hand pumped water purifiers.
Yeah, they're like 250-gallon tanks, big old.
Yeah,
tanks.
You hand pump the filter, and it can provide water for 2,500 people.
Yeah,
a day. With a hand pump, fucking amazing.
That guy was.
We talked
solid.
To him for like 30 minutes.
A good, and he had his little water bottle. It was a orange. Everything was orange.
Yeah,
and he had on that bottle the list of all the rivers he is drunk from.
Yeah, like he had the Amazon,
everything,
the Mississippi. Like
I didn't see the East River.
He didn't.
I started to ask.
Well, it's because you can't. It doesn't filter syringes.
Oh, okay.
But he did. Yeah. But he was like, you know, the first lady we talked to that I took the shot of water from, she's like, yeah, this takes out everything. It takes out viruses and all kinds of stuff. We go talk to this guy. He's like, all right, anybody that tells you that their pump will take out viruses is lying to you. There's no filter small enough, but this one has a positively charged core in it that will pull viruses out.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, nothing's going to filter. You can't filter out a virus. It's too damn small.
He was by far the most straight-laced and just straightforward of the bunch. I mean, he was not a pitch man trying to sell you everything, oversell you.
No, he just wanted to talk.
I was fascinated. The thing that surprised both of us when he was talking about reverse osmosis.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways of getting out, of filtering out viruses is via osmosis.
Reverse osmosis, right.
And he says that the water that you filter via osmosis is what they call water?
It's hungry water.
Hungry water, that's
hungry
what it was.
Hungry water.
It's deficient.
Like hungry eyes.
And so it will it'll leach minerals out of your body.
Right. It has no minerals or anything.
Yeah.
Is it soft water? Yes. It's like the softest of the softest water you could think of. It's got no minerals at all.
And so he says the hospitals actually give this to people with like arthritis because it'll leach these deposits out of their joints and let them move again. It is a concept I was completely unfamiliar with.
Mm-hmm.
But this dude was just a trip to talk to.
You've got to. He said if you drink the reverse osmosis water, you need to take vitamin supplements.
Yeah.
Minerals.
Yeah, so you can drink it, but
it'll leach it right out of your body.
Yeah. Right. And he was fun to talk to. There was one really good pitch man there.
Oh, the Thai boss.
Yeah, the Thai boss.
The Thai boss guy.
It's a ratchet tie down thing that has no moving parts.
And you don't need to tie it.
Yeah, and he was there with his dog.
I didn't see the dog.
The dog was behind him.
See, I never saw the dog.
Yeah.
The dog was quiet.
Yeah, the dog was just chilling. He's used to just traveling with him and then just laying out in the booth. But I almost bought one.
Yeah.
Just because the pitch was so good.
The pitch was fantastic. Yeah, he looked every bit the part of a Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
He was worn out. He was sitting on a stool. We walked
up. He got
up
with a grunt.
Let me tell you about this time.
And just went right into it. He had me.
Boom. Just right into it. Had everything. He had a bike. He had a kayak up there. He had a couple of kettlebells.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, go ahead, pull it. And this is it with just one pulley. This is it with a full block and tackle. Yeah, go ahead, give it a shot. Just pull it, let it go. Look at that right there. Just sold me.
It was
sold
awesome.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. What else did we see out there?
There was the dude with the EMP bags.
Yeah, he was doing a little class when we left. And that was the thing about the EMP bags. Yes, they're I have no doubt that they work. The Faraday bags work. The problem is, whatever you're trying to protect, you have to keep it in the bag at all times.
Yeah. So let's say,
because you don't know when that EMP is coming.
Yeah. Let's say you get the $8 EMP bag that's right. designed for your phone.
Yeah.
And EMP goes off, taking with it all sources of electricity and the cell phone network.
But my iPhone still works, right?
iPhone works. Great.
Yeah.
How are you going to charge that bitch? You got a hand crank? Great. Now, who are you going to talk to?
How come I don't have any service?
Yeah.
My iPhone.
Because they didn't put a bag over the goddamn
cell towers. They didn't put a bag over the damn towers? Well, I would say fucking AT&T, but I'm on Verizon now.
Okay, so what we came to the realization of is that there were out of all these booths, there was one guy who was seriously like,
yeah,
society's going to collapse. You need to buy my copper collectible coins.
I thought there were more. I'd see a lot of those. I only saw like two guys in camouflage the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, it was a lot of like. If you had told me it was a woodworking forum, mm-hmm. or like a
camping,
yeah, it really seemed more like a camping type thing, and the people that were there were honest about what their stuff was useful for.
Yeah,
like there's not the majority of people on the planet. There are some fucking nut bars who are like, yes, society's coming to an end. I'm ready for it.
Right,
but with a lot of these people, you know, under Obama. I'm sure there were way more of them that popped up.
That's what I wanted to ask. I forgot to ask them if they thought their sales might have been brisker if Hillary would have won.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I mean,
I have no doubt that market would have exploded.
Well, I mean,
but now there's
Lord knows you don't have to worry about anything like a nuclear holocaust or some kind of global instability with Donald Trump as president. Now Hillary Clinton, that bitch was crazy, right?
Right. So, so they. And they weren't really hyping up like, yeah, you got to be prepared for the one guy who was selling Geiger counters, but at the same time not selling Geiger counters.
Yeah, he said, I'm not selling you that Geiger counter because it's not going to...
He's like, that's a toy. That's just garbage.
And what you want are these gamma detectors.
Yeah.
He's, so that you don't turn into the incredible
like radometers.
Salt.
He's like...
Gamma radometers.
He's like, if this thing was moving, then we'd all be dead.
Oh.
I was like, oh.
Well, that's helpful.
Well, but the Geiger counter, the thing I actually want to... He's like, no, that's junk.
So the thing that would actually show any measurements, if that actually went off at all, we'd all be dead. So it tells you you're about to die.
Yeah, it's like no, you're dead.
if a gamma radonomer, whatever,
I forget what he called it,
goes off and there's no one alive to see it.
He said it's for after
really go off.
After the nuclear holocaust, when you come out of your bunker, you have one of these things, and if it's moving, then it's not safe.
Oh,
but okay. Also you're dead. So
yeah. Well, you before that though, you got to be in your fallout suit.
You got to
be in a complete fallout suit, right?
Yes.
Before you take that gamma detector out to see if it's safe to come out, so you don't die. But yeah, he had. I took some snapshots of the collection of DVDs. Let me see if I pull it up. He had the big display of coins, copper coins.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
But yeah, like he had the duck and cover.
Oh yeah,
PSA
he had the duck
going.
And cover video going on a little
TV,
little CRT tube TV.
Yeah. But so yeah, he was the one exception to the rule. The rest of them are like, look, you know, like what happened with the floods or with you know the hurricanes or stuff like that. You might need a source for portable water. You might need some food that you can prepare without.
Yeah,
you know, without a cooking utensil, you know, without a,
simple,
a stove and shit.
Common sense stuff.
And the food is actually really good. I did ask a few of the vendors who go to these things regularly. I was like, "What's your favorite?" And they all seem to share the view that the ones that have like pasta in them, like that are meat and pasta, those are the best. And all the ones I tried with meat and pasta were very good. I tried a lot of different foods. I love freeze dried fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered that
the freeze dried fruit, you went crazy over it.
Yeah, the pineapple was amazing. It's like crunchy. It's this crunchy cube, but it's a freeze-dried chunk of pineapple,
mm-hmm.
and it was fucking delicious. Like, you could take this stuff, or the strawberries, or the blueberries, and just sprinkle it over your cereal with your milk.
Yeah, you were going to eat all their samples, man.
They were fine with it, too. They're like, try this. These are vanilla.
Stick around at 2:30. We have jambalaya coming up. We have chicken jambalaya coming up tonight.
Yeah.
I've
got
to go.
I didn't want to wait around for it.
Yeah.
But they were very friendly, and most of them were realistic about it. They weren't trying to scare you. Well, except for the stun gun guy, or and even he was like, "Just look how cool it is."
Yeah, exactly. He was like a combination between like Q from James Bond and Dr. Seuss. You know, the cat in the hat yes. with the hat.
He had a big top hat on.
A big top hat.
Yeah. So that was cool. But for the most part, it was people selling camping supplies.
Camping supplies are things you might find useful after a hurricane.
Yeah.
And you don't have power for, about a week.
Yeah. Like, there was, out front, there was a big old, they call it the bug out trailer.
The bug out trailer.
Bug out trailers with a Z on the end .com.
Yeah, that was right out there before, as you walked into the gate to get to the 4-H.
Yeah, and he had that kind of set up as, it looked, he had like gas masks hanging off of it and stuff.
Yeah.
But the pitch he was giving to the guys he was talking to was like, "Oh, this is great for tailgating, and you can put a ramp on it if you want to put a motorcycle in it for like going camping or off-roading." And it had a shower inside, had a toilet,
had a shower outside,
had a shower outside as well,
because that way you wash off those gamma rays.
Yeah, before you go inside, masturbate in your inside trailer.
Exactly.
It had bunks in it. Like, it was a really nice compact trailer, but it looked like it was set up for a tailgate. Like, he had two grills outside.
Two grills. He had the outdoor sink.
Yeah, outdoor sink.
Outdoor sink had the solar panel going, and of course,
save power. And he had a generator.
He had a flagpole with the American flag,
and don't step on snake.
Don't step on snake. Don't tread on me.
Yeah,
flying high, of course.
But I think if he had space, he would have popped an LSU flag on it too, just to be like, look, because he was really selling it as like, look, if society falls apart, you're gonna want to have this, but it's also great for tailgating, or camping
until that day comes.
Yeah,
have a good time.
Yeah, have a nice comfy. And it seemed like the sheer panic that we expected to see and the total nut bars. And don't get me wrong, there were a couple. But for the most part, it was completely sane individuals that, put down their copy of Soldier of Fortune and were just like, you know what I like? Freeze-dried strawberries.
Now, they had the beets. Didn't they have one that had beets in it?
It was a beet and carrot chip. Like, they basically mash together beets and carrots, and then they roll it out into a paste and make like fruit roll-ups, and then freeze dries those into chips.
Yeah, she said like as soon as they pick it, within an hour
they flash freeze it. Yeah. And
they last for how long? They said it's good for.
It was a few years.
A few years, yeah.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 years in the canister. It was up to 10 years unopened. Once you open it, you have a year to use it.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
She gave me freeze dried sausage.
Oh, wow. That's right, she did.
It was a little crumble. It looked like dog food.
Oh, yeah.
And that was weird, but...
but they said you could, like, put it in and cook it, and it would, like, re-moisturize or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
she said you could reconstitute it.
Reconstitute it.
But you know what? It was. I could sprinkle it over, I'm trying to think of something. Like mashed potatoes.
Ooh, yeah.
Or on your eggs.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I can't shit on it. Like, it was delicious. Like, there were some really...
Yeah, the chili mac. What was
tried the chicken and rice.
Chicken and rice.
I tried the chili mac, which was the best tasting thing there.
Yeah.
Except for the dried fruit, as far as prepared foods I got, where they were in, like, chafing dishes. Which is another thing the apocalypse is going to be well known for, is nice chafing dishes.
Nice chafing dishes.
Because they all had them. The coconut pie was gross.
Oh, I don't know if I had the... I did not try the coconut pie. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of coconut.
Neither am I, but the lady seems so polite.
I'm not a fan of coconut to begin with. I feel like I'd be less of a fan of coconut after the apocalypse.
You think that would kill your coconut fandom?
Yeah, I'm not a fan now. I think it'd be worse afterwards.
Fair. Yeah, that wasn't very good.
I don't see a nuclear fallout making it better.
They had... beans. I tried the beans, which came out of a bag, but I didn't like. If I'm gonna have apocalypse beans, I want Bush's beans.
Yeah,
They're barbecue beans, and they were way. The Bush's beat the shit out of the ones that come out of the bag.
Oh yeah,
and they're canned, so you're good.
Yeah, canned. Yeah, you're. Yeah. You...
There was one other thing I tried that.
If you get enough gamma radiation, the dog will actually talk.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Give me some of them fucking beans.
That's right.
For our radio trash. Let me see.
I'm trying to think what else we saw there would be interesting to talk about here. Nice.
Well, there was only one booth that was like... that had anything that was just like, you know, they were selling holsters with like Locker Up on it.
Yeah. Oh, they did. I didn't see. Well, they had a big ass booth with all the holsters.
Yep. Like, and they're like inside the waistband holsters that had stuff printed on them. So I don't know who's going to see it.
Right.
And they were like a ghost town. There weren't a lot of people at that. No.
You had the timepiece guy who had the
railroad watches. The
railroad watches.
He was selling these antique railroad watches that you have to wind, and he was talking about how they hold time better than modern quartz watches.
Right.
That was neat, but again, he could have been at the Gun and Knife Show next door. He could have been at the Antiques Mall in Denham.
Now, one thing we didn't stick around for was the...
Dr. Bones?
Dr. Bones. That's his name. Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy.
Yeah, the married couple that will teach you... They take out a pig foot, and they do a class for 24 people.
Yeah.
They teach you how to do sutures.
For $200. They did that on Sunday morning, I want to
$200 bucks a piece?
I believe it was $200. Fuck that. It was like 4 or 5 hours, and you went in, and you got a pig's foot, and the suture kit, and all kinds of other stuff. And they were going to teach you how to do sutures, when to suture, when not to suture a wound, and all kinds of stuff. And, I mean, who are you going to learn from post-apocalyptic suturing... Then from Dr. Bones.
I did my own. I gave myself 2 stitches when I was 14.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
In my knee.
The guy who is famous for passing out when he gets a needle stuck in his arm.
When I get blood drawn.
When you get blood drawn, you pass out.
Yeah. But I can do my own surgery.
You can do your own surgery.
Yeah. Like, that's different. I'm fixing something.
What the fuck are you, Clive Owen from the Nick? Like, Nick? Nick.
I did. Well, it was because I had... It was kind of stupid.
Dr. Thackeray is his character.
I had a rollerblading injury. I like fell and split my knee open and looked like a smile.
Oh.
And I was like, I can't... That's bad.
That's bad. So you did you do any disinfect or anything?
Yeah. I mean, I cleaned it. I mean, my dad's a doctor. I always clean shit, you know.
Yeah.
Because I'm also prone to staph.
Really?
Yeah, I get staph bad when it finally breaks through. It just spreads through me like wildfire.
You have a spleen?
I do have a spleen. Yes.
Okay, I thought it was spleens.
Well, no, I just I think it's because growing up, my dad gave me antibiotics all the time.
Oh.
So because I didn't have to go to a doctor to get them.
Dad's fault.
Yeah, he'd be like, "Oh, you're sick. We need antibiotics."
Your dad's the reason why we have these bacteria.
These super bugs. That's why I don't take antibiotics now.
Yeah,
just because I'm trying to rebuild my resistance.
Antibacterial soap and all kinds of stuff.
But
yeah, like
but I just took a sewing kit.
Yeah,
and I took the needle and curved it. Just give a little bit of a curve with your thumb, kind of pull it a few times so get a bend to it.
Yeah,
And then just 2 quick stitches. I should have done more, but I was like, that's good.
You're like a regular Anton Chigurh.
Yeah, there's nothing to it.
Jesus.
I mean, I say that, but I only gave myself the 2. I was like, that's good. That's good.
2's enough.
2's enough.
Yeah.
And I didn't have, like, the, you know, chitin-based stuff that your body absorbs or anything, so I had to pull them out.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was starting to tug a little bit.
And what kind of material did you use?
It was a sewing machine, a sewing kit from, like, fucking Hilton.
So just regular thread? Wasn't that, like, silk?
Yeah, no, it was stupid.
Wasn't anything that would, like, slide up your skin easily when you need to take them out?
No. It was kind of crusty, and I had to kind of tug it.
Like corduroy? You had a corduroy knee?
Well, that situation was what gave me the balls to try and pierce my own nipple a year later.
Oh, boy.
Also with a sewing needle. I went to, what was it, Revolution Inc. Back, it was over on Chimes.
Okay.
Back when it was, before they had, like, you know, like, what they did to... Times Square, you know, when they went through took all the porn out.
Yeah.
Back when Chimes used to be really seedy.
Yeah, it's still kind of seedy. It's gentrified seedy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're dangerous, but here's a craft beer.
Exactly.
So, like, I went to Revolution Inc. and they had body jewelry, so I bought a nipple ring.
Yeah,
I was, dude, and again, I'm like 15. I'm a fucking idiot. It's like, yeah. I'm going to do this. So I go home and I put the sewing needle. I sterilized it.
Did you ice it down or anything
like that? I put ice on it.
You put ice? Okay. And, okay.
But the problem was the ice worked on the outside, but I'm pushing a sewing needle through my nipple and I get it through. And like right when it goes through it, like you feel a pop. Like when they do body jewelry, these are really sharp needle and it's also got a hole in it because you got to gauge it to fit the jewelry through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know this shit. Again, I'm a fucking idiot. So I get the needle in, and I feel it pop, and I feel it pop inside my nipple.
It popped inside your nipple.
And then I passed out.
Did you pop a mammary gland or something?
No, I just, it popped through the skin. It punched through the skin.
Really?
Oh
my goodness. I think I knew a guy one time when I was in high school that we were at a party after I'd gotten off of work at the teen club or whatever, or where I was working, and like a late Saturday night, and these guys have been drinking heavily and maybe doing something else, and I want to say one of them did the ice and pierced his nipple.
Yeah.
And I want to say that guy is like a respected lawyer out in Alabama now. A high school classmate of mine.
Well, I came to... And, like, walked to my bedroom mirror, and I was like, oh, cool, I did it. Because it's kind of through, and, like...
This is after you passed out and you came to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, and I didn't, like... I was sitting on the ground. I was sitting on the carpet, so okay. I just kind of fell
smart
back.
Smart move.
Yeah. But I get up, and I, like, look in the mirror, and it was through, and then the little tip of the needle was out the left side.
Oh.
So it's like, I did it.
And now what I do?
And then I pulled it out. That fucking hurts.
I bet you did.
Like, anybody that's ever been stabbed will say, that's the worst. That's the worst thing ever. Because it goes in, and then it comes out.
Yeah.
And it's worse. It comes, like, if you ever pulled a shard of glass out of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It sucks dick hole.
Or a splinter. Sometimes you don't even know you got a splinter in your skin. All of a sudden, oh, shit, I got a splinter.
And you pull it out.
And you got to, well, the thing about splinters, you got to dig for that bitch.
Yeah. So I yanked the needle out. Again, sewing needle. Hilton sewing kit, sewing needle. I yanked that out.
Here's to you, Conrad Hilton.
And I'm like, oh boy, that was awful. Now to get the jewelry in. So, I put it in there, and I like, if you've ever seen, like, let's say it was an earring.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's got kind of a small post. This is body jewelry, which is not that small of a post. Certainly not needle sized.
Yeah.
I kind of worked in a bit of it, and I was just like, no, fuck it. Nope. Not. I guess I'm not going to have pierced nipples, which, you know, now I'm glad I didn't.
You just have a painful nipple.
Yeah. It healed up.
It's possibly susceptible to infection now.
But there is you can still kind of see a dot where it went through.
Really?
On the inside of my left nipple.
Oh, you have an Indian nipple now.
No, I mean, it's just a dot. Well, like India. No, it's, yeah. It's,
Man,
I don't know. It's tiny, but you know, I can show you and go look there.
I've never had any inkling to
dig around on yourself.
No.
Well, like, okay, see this scar on the palm of my left hand?
Yeah, I see that.
That right there. That was.
I thought you were talking about this, right? But
this is kind of a V shape, and then you got another little bit right here.
Yeah.
That was from skateboarding
at
my grandmother's house, and I hit a patch of gravel on the road and fell, and I was going pretty quick. And I fell forward onto this hand, and it dug a bunch of gravel up underneath my skin.
Ooh, fun.
So I went back to my grandmother's house and got tweezers and a razor blade, and I had to open it up a little bit and then use the tweezers to dig out the gravel.
Really?
And then clean all that out because I didn't want to get infected.
Uh-huh.
But I had to kind of... I was 12 when I did that.
And you had to dig out the
little bits of rock and sand and shit. And that, I mean, it fucking hurt. But at the same time, I'm like, look, I'm taking things out. So, I mean,
man,
it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Just don't take my blood. That's all I ask.
Yeah. I think I've got, like, two notable scars. I've got a little one right here on my wrist.
Uh-huh.
Right here. It goes this way. And I remember...
You go down the road, not across the street, Jeremy.
Exactly. It's right here on my wrist, and it's parallel to the veins. But I wasn't trying... I wasn't depressed or anything.
Fair.
I literally had a little pocket knife, and I was just bored watching TV and playing with it. And somehow it just fucking...
Stabbed yourself?
I stabbed myself. And then you can see it's like a millimeter to the right of a vein right there.
Yeah, that would have spurted.
It would have spurted. And just like, oh, well, that was...
I mean, I don't think...
I'm thinking that was close.
I don't think it would have killed you, but it would have been messy.
It would have been messy. And my grandma would have been pissed.
She would have. And they probably would have taken the knife away.
Yeah, they would have. So... Yeah.
I got a little one about in the same spot. See that right there?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a little dot. That is.
This is great podcast material.
Yeah,
we're showing scars on an audio podcast.
It's a little dot about mid wrist, and that's from a 12 gauge shotgun shell. So I went on a camping trip with some friends of mine out in the middle of a cow pasture,
Okay.
And in preparation for this, I was like, we'll bring something fun. I'll make a pipe bomb. And so for the casing for the pipe bomb,
who hasn't made a pipe bomb before going out into a cow pasture?
Exactly. So I used the sight off of an old BB gun.
Yeah.
Open up one end of it, and I open up had a bunch of shotgun shells, and I opened them up and I dumped all the powder into it. And I'm 17, 18 at
old
the time.
Old enough to know better.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pack it full of that, put a fuse in it, have that trailing out, and then I tape it all up. But I've got all the primers. Kept them all. Don't know why. Fucking idiot. So I take...
When you say the primers.
The primers is the cap, like when you're holding a shotgun shell, yeah. The brass end.
The brass end,
that's
right.
Got the little primer in it. That's okay. What the pin hits that ignites the powder that sends all the shot out.
Yeah.
So I keep all the primers.
Okay.
So we're camping.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a couple. We already set off the pipe bomb in a hay bale.
You already set it off.
Yeah, it didn't do the damage I hoped it would do. The fuse was very fast, though. Like, I had a friend, we were in his truck. I was in the passenger side. I stuck it in the hay bale, leaned out the window, stuck it in the hay bale, and I lit it and said, go, go, go. And we got about a foot away before it went off. So I would have taken my hand off. It was enough for that, but it didn't blow up the hay bale like I hoped it would. Because I was a fucking idiot. So we're sitting around the campfire, and I was like, oh, hey, I still have all the primers. So I go get them, and it's like, a quart Ziploc bag full of primers.
Yeah.
And so we toss one into the fire,
yeah.
And it explodes.
Sure. And where's it going? Who knows?
Who cares?
There's no fucking barrel to guide it.
Exactly. So we dumped all of them in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so they start exploding left and right, which is then when we did something stupid. We started leaping over the fire as it exploded.
Yeah,
it's like, woo! Luckily, we didn't get our balls blown off. But I did catch a piece of brass in my wrists, and it bled like crazy.
Wow.
But again, first aid. I've gotten really good at first aid from all the shit I've done to myself, so I don't need to pay $200.
Oh, wow.
Be stupid, kids. That's the rule here. Be stupid. You'll learn first aid.
Learn first aid.
As you grow up, and you don't need to go to the survivalist forum to, learn how to sew a pig foot.
That's kind of like, I posted a video of this a couple of years ago on YouTube, but there was a show on one of the BCD channels, whatever, here in town,
uh-huh.
That is called I Love Baton Rouge. And it's basically a half hour long infomercial.
For tourism?
For North Baton Rouge.
Okay.
And somebody produces it, and they go around and they sell airtime. Advertising to people, and they get to come on the show for a 5 or 10 minute segment and talk about
what they do. Okay.
And it's must see TV. If you're bored on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon and there's nothing else going on, look up I Love Baton Rouge.
Okay.
And it's so glorious. The one I posted a video of it. If you look up on Google on YouTube. The best worst tattoo ad. They had this guy, he calls himself the Tattoo God. And he's got a mobile tattoo thing.
That's what you want.
Mobile tattoo thing.
Something in a trailer.
Yeah, trailer. And he'll come to you or whatever.
Great.
And this guy, and they have from the company doing the advertising, the hosts or whatever you want to call them from I Love Baton Rouge, they have a girl who's just kind of sitting in the back on her phone, just texting or whatever.
Okay.
And then they have a little bit older African-American gentleman who's kind of sitting in a chair, swiveling back and forth as he introduces the segment, just kind of hanging out like, yeah. We're over here with so-and-so.
The tattoo god.
And he's going to talk about the tattoo industry. And then they have another guy who apparently is a local celebrity. I forget his name. But,
pretty famous.
Very flamboyant.
Gotcha.
Very flamboyant guy-ish. That the tattoo god is going to demonstrate on.
Okay.
And
so this dude's waiting around to get tattooed by the tattoo god.
Yeah.
Were they in his trailer or in the studio?
They were in some kind of...
I keep assuming he has a trailer, but I'm guessing it's more like a bag of stuff.
There was a lot of paneling.
Okay.
A lot of wood paneling.
No, I was thinking like the tattoo god travels around, he's got his mobile shop. Yeah. But now that I think about it, it's probably more like a mobile toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he doesn't have a chair that he brings. He does it on your kitchen counter.
Yeah. Well, he starts talking about if you want to get into tattooing, you know, you need your certificates, you need this, you need that, and once you get it, you're good. And he says, get you a place, you know, clean, nothing too fancy or anything like that.
No, fancy. You want no. fancy.
And and he talked about if you want to get into the tattoo business, tattoo yourself. Work on yourself. Mess up on yourself.
No. No, don't do that.
He said, I learned this in prison. He said this. I learned this.
I've seen some pretty good prison art, but that doesn't automatically qualify you
right
for a life in the tattoo industry.
Right. But yeah, so, I mean, what better advertisement could you have as an aspiring tattoo artist than to have all of your rough drafts permanently tattooed on your skin?
Well, like down one arm would be like the evolution of man.
Uh-huh.
So you see where he starts, it's like a stick figure with boobies.
Oh,
and then okay. It slowly progresses until he's got the Mona Lisa about his wrist. Where he's got it down.
Yeah, and when you see that little blob over there, that's supposed to be his mom. And it's like,
I just turned that into a heart.
Well, hell, tattoo the fuck out of me.
Yeah, oh, please.
Please.
Yeah, no, kids. You, research your artist. Don't do it on a whim.
Yeah, but the best part was then he started tattooing this Me See Me or something was the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like he was in Guantanamo getting waterboarded or something.
I've seen it. There are compilations on YouTube of people not taking tattoos well.
But this was an advertisement.
Yeah.
For the guy's tattoo services.
And that's who he went with.
And Missy Me is just being the drama queen that she is.
Just freaking out.
Freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And it's like, the tattoo guy is literally telling this person, shut up. Be quiet. Let me do my work that I learned in prison.
Yeah. Well, prison guys are normally a little quieter when they get their tattoos. Most people are.
Yeah.
You know, you in a tattoo studio, you know, usually you just hear buzzing. Every now and then, you know, the artist might go, you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. You know, but not a lot of yowling.
Right.
It's also hard for the person doing the work. You know, you want to...
Yeah.
They're inking you. You want to... Well, let them focus. Not yell.
Right. And I understand, I've never had a tattoo, but I understand there are certain parts of the body that are a little bit more sensitive.
Yeah, inside the arm, blade inside of the hand. Arm,
yeah, right here, the inside part of the bicep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sides, the feet.
The sides, the feet, like the lower shins.
I'd say anything below the ankle is rough.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
But yeah, like the one on my left arm, like it kind of curves around, and the outside part, it's nothing. Outside of the shoulder. Inside, there's a little bit, and that... That hurt like crazy.
Now, what does yours say?
The tulip, it says, it's a Winnie the Pooh quote.
Oh, okay. If you live to be 100.
I want to live to be 100 minus one day, so I never have to live without you. It was on our wedding invitations.
Okay.
And I call Carol Tulip, so it's a Semper Augustus tulip, which is the tulip that finally brought down the tulip craze.
The Dutch tulip bubble. What, the 1600s?
It was like a 1 year period where just tulip futures went through the roof, and this one sold for it has something like 50,000 florins, and at the time a craftsman could earn 45 florins a year.
Wow.
So, yeah.
For a flower.
For a bulb.
For a bulb.
Yeah. For the promise of a bulb when the season came up. Mm. That's really there's a really great breakdown on it. If you ever read The Botany of Desire,
mm-hmm.
it's a great book about why we learn to, you know, learn agriculture for different reasons.
I'm sorry, every time I see a tulip or hear about a tulip, I can't help but think of the
robot. Whole Nine Yards?
No, the robot chicken skit with Liberace. It was like zombie Liberace.
No, I don't remember this.
Yeah, and he was like, what's better than roses on your piano? Tulips on your organ.
I don't remember that, Jeremy.
Sorry.
Was it one of the little clips?
No, it was a full minute and a half vignette.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
So survivalism.
Survivalism.
Yeah. So I would say the experience was ultimately positive.
Yeah.
Like, there were a couple whack jobs. Yes, it really was. Like, we thought it was going to be full of just nut bars, and there were a couple guys wandering around open carrying, you know.
Mm-hmm. You had one guy as we were leaving who was walking. It looked like he was coming from
the gun show. He's coming from the gun show, and he had a Coachman shotgun, you know, side-by-side, short barrel.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, the breech's open, and he had it slung over his shoulder. Like, he was just, he had either bought it or was trying to sell it.
Right. And, you had the rainbow salesman, too.
Smell
good and be clean.
There was a guy selling rainbow vacuums and air purifiers.
I mean, you got Cutco, you got to have the rainbow.
Yeah, right next to each other.
Yeah.
So that was, again, unexpected. But I'm guessing the booths are cheap, and you got people coming in. You got a captive audience.
Yeah.
You know, so you just set up.
And when we walked in from the parking lot, we passed a truck, and unfortunately I didn't go around and take a look at the back windshield.
Yeah, you saw the one sticker on the side.
When the back windshield was loaded with awesomely racist, pro-Trump, anti-protester.
There were at least three Confederate flags on the window.
On the back window, some Trump stuff, a bunch. I mean, just the most offensive things you could think of finding.
Yes, and this was on a big jacked up pickup truck with blacked out windows.
Yeah, but the only thing I saw before we went in was a big old oversized truck with monster truck running over people holding up signs says, I don't break for protesters.
Yes, this is a gentleman and a scholar, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we couldn't stop and take a picture of the back windshield when we were leaving
because they were all hanging out.
They were all hanging out on the back of the truck.
Because when you've got the huge truck all beefed up and you're outside of the survivalist / gun show.
Yeah.
The thing you want to do is just chill out behind the truck and you wait for the women to come to you.
Because that's a pussy magnet.
It totally is.
That is a
It's chick. a certain type of woman that will be immediately drawn to it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a guarantee. You got that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for you.
The very, very, very lowest of the lowest esteem types.
Yeah.
Well,
you make her come and their teeth fall out.
Yeah. Yeah, those type. That's a...
But there was only the one. Like, again, it was... Like,
I was looking around. I didn't...
Would you expect there to be a full population of whack jobs? Nah.
No. They were really the outliers.
Yeah. It was... I don't know. Like, you build up a caricature in your head, and there... Again, granted, there were a couple people that fit it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the primary... Like, that one booth that had the freeze-dried food... It was like a Martha Stewart booth. There was two ladies.
Were so nice and sweet.
Yeah, two ladies wearing t-shirts with the thing with their whatever their name is.
Yeah,
and it's like a rainbow colored script. Yeah. And what drew me to the booth was the smell.
Yeah, the smell was.
It
awesome.
Smelled like candy and flowers.
And that was a nice oasis in that building because when we walked in, it's the 4-H building, and it kind of smelled like. A vet clinic.
Like there have been horses and dogs in there.
And I was like, so maybe they hold it in there to cover the smell of the pee in the water that you thought was filtered out.
Yeah.
I was really wanting to see some filtered pee. Filtered pee?
Filtered
pee. How about that? Some filtered
pee. That was the one thing. The lady would not filter pee. The guy said he hadn't, but he needed
would.
To.
He said he would do it tonight. Yeah. He said he would do it night.
He said, I haven't. I keep meaning to. And I was like, you got that bottle there. You just put your name at the bottom of all these rivers. Because it was rivers all the way around. You just sign your name.
Just sign your name.
And be like, what is that? Oh, that's me.
That's me.
I peed in the bottle.
The Yellow River.
Yes. The Huangxi.
Mm-hmm. So, I really wanted to see if I could pee in that open town. I was hoping for some kind of demo where you can piss into something and purify it. That was one thing I found a little disappointing.
Yeah, he said that, you know, human pee is sterile.
It is.
Which it's not.
Everybody says it is.
It's not.
It's not sterile.
It's not. There's shit in it. But it's safe to drink in an emergency. But it's not sterile. That was one of those things on I Fucking Love Science, that site that grabs shit from all these other sites. Last year there was a study. It's like, is it really sterile? And these, you know, doctors like, don't drink your pee.
Right.
I mean, you in an emergency, if you have no choice, drink your pee. But it's not sterile.
Right.
It's pee.
It's pee. It's something your body's trying to get rid of that it needs to get rid of imminently. Yeah,
it's waste.
It's, yeah. Can you eat shit?
Yeah.
We've all seen two girls, one cup. Yeah, it is possible.
Not.
Do you want to do it? No.
Yeah, it's not. It's not ideal.
Not ideal.
There was an article in a porno mag that Kevin Smith talked about reading, where they were interviewing this doctor. They call him Dr. Pooh, and he.
Dr. Pooh.
Yeah, well, they call him this because he had a patient that was in a group of kinky people that like to eat shit. They're coprophiliacs, and they like to eat shit.
Oh, that's the
yeah. They make brownies with shit, and
that's the name for them. Coprophiliac.
Coprophiliac. Yeah.
As in Doc David Copperfield.
No, copro.
Coprophil. Oh,
coprophiliacs.
Okay.
David Copperfield.
I was like, is there something I didn't learn about David Copperfield, the book or the magician?
There has got to be a shit porn actor named David Copperfield. If not, it's a wasted opportunity.
That is definitely a wasted opportunity there.
Wasted, like human waste, because it's poo.
But no, he
had a guy ask me, said, is it safe to eat poo? And the doc's like, no, but I mean, I can't stop you. He's like, what if I we like bake it into brownies? I'm like, bake it. He's well, I mean, if you got it to this temperature, it should kill off everything. But again, I mean, you're adults here. I can't make you not do it. You're going to do it. And if you want to do it, you know, that's your thing. But, you know, let's...
Don't invite me to dinner afterwards.
No, I would suggest antibiotics. Or, yeah. You know, you need to... I mean, you're going to do it. Just, you know. And so it's that guy.
Wow.
Dr. Pooh. Yeah, I mean, you can eat... I'm not suggesting you do it, kids. Never been on my radar or something. I'm like, you know, maybe.
If you had to choose,
I would rather use a glory hole in a truck stop,
okay,
than eat poo of someone. Like, take the most attractive woman you can think of.
Pierce your nipple again with a Hilton sewing kit.
I've been there.
Okay,
it's not gonna make me come. But you take like the most attractive woman. You know, like just you drool just looking at her. It's like she's gonna shit in your mouth. But you know what? I think I will take the dirty truck stop glory hole, because at least then there's a, you know, air of mystery. I can pretend there's a fantasy there. Like that chick's totally blowing me. It's not some toothless trucker.
Yeah.
You know, with a beard. Like I'm gonna pretend my dick can't feel the whiskers.
Block that out.
Other than, you know, and I would take that over just a very attractive woman squatting over my head and shitting into my mouth.
Mm.
Not my thing. Because, you know, if that's happening, it's, one, I mean, unless you're ill or you had like a real funky dinner, poo kind of, like you're going to see the brown eye wink open and the poo coming out. And you're like, I can't stop it.
Yeah.
I can't, here it comes. I signed up for this. If I want the free subscription to Rodent Track, I have to let her shit in my mouth.
Yeah.
Or I had to get the blowjob from the glory hole. Why did I pick this? And then log. Oh, hot.
Hmm.
And it's going to smell terrible. And I know that. I'll tell you why. There's a reason toilets have water in them, Jeremy.
To help. I know why. I've made an island or two. And when that happens, the smell is...
So me and some of my friends riding our bikes around the neighborhood.
You don't know what making an island is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an atoll in your asshole. It's an atoll from your asshole.
Mm-hmm. But that's just a little peek or poo.
Mm-hmm.
Peek your island of poop, poopity doop. So, me and my
Shootigan's Island.
Yeah. So, me and my friends are riding our bikes around the neighborhood, right past the local school. They're having an arts and crafts fair.
Yeah.
So, we go in arts and crafts, park the bikes, go into arts and crafts fair, and there's a couple booths in like the front lobby of said school. But then the whole school's open, and there's nobody in the rest of the school, and we're 12, so we go tearing ass through the school.
I'm gonna take a guess.
So we're running around the school, and we get to like a back area, you know, it's kind of open, and there's doors to a bunch of different classrooms and stuff like that. And so, you know, one of my friends, being a comedian he is, runs up and he pees on the door handle. Like, hey guys, look, I'm peeing on the door handle. Like, ah, that's the funniest thing I ever seen in my life. Then my other friend,
let me top it.
My other buddy is the one who's always like, oh, I see where the line is. I see that you stepped over the line. I'm going to get in a car and drive a few miles down past the line, and that's where I'm going to be. I look over my buddy that's just peed on the door handle, and he has tears streaming down his face. He's laughing so hard because he's looking behind me. And my other friend, who's leaned up against the wall in front of one of these doors with his pants around his knees, and he is just dropping shit on the floor, okay, of a pretty wide area. And I'm like, we laugh about it. I mean, what you going to do?
I was thinking maybe like in a teacher's desk. Like
no, we couldn't.
Surprise, Monday morning.
The classrooms were locked.
Oh, the classrooms were locked.
Yeah,
okay.
They were smart. So he poops, and we laugh because it's funny, and he's laughing, and we're laughing, and it's shit. And then we stop laughing because it stinks really bad, because it wasn't a tremendous amount of shit, but it was fresh.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. So So we run, and we get caught by a janitor who, like, stops us, and he's like, hey, what are y'all doing? Y'all messing around with these lockers? And we had been. Because they had built-in locks, and if you hit them the right way, you can open it up. And we were taking people's textbooks and switching them in the lockers, just being little shits.
And big shits on the floor.
And so we're like, he's like, what are y'all doing on there? And we're like, nothing. Certainly not peeing and shitting, sir. And he goes, oh, yeah? Well, we're going to go take a look. If I see anything, I'm calling the cops because the sheriffs were there.
All you got to do is drop trowel. And the guy who's got the skid marks because he didn't wipe his ass after he took a shit in the hall.
Don't get ahead of me, Jeremy.
I've always gotten pissed off about that. It's like the suspension of disbelief whenever somebody just drops trial, take a shit in a movie or whatever, even on South Park, and he just pulls the pants back up like, motherfucker, you didn't wipe your ass.
We'll get there. So he's like walking us down to the scene of the crime, and we're like, we are fucked. We are capital F fucked because we're going to get there and there's a poo and there's no way you're not going to see poo.
Or smell it around the corner.
Right. Because you're going to smell it. It was human shit.
Fresh.
So we're walking down the hall to where my buddy had shit on the floor. Another janitor comes from right from where the shit is. Comes around the corner towards us. And the guy walking us goes, hey, you see anything messed up down there? And the other janitor, whose eyes have been blinded by the same angel that blinded Saul on the road to Tarsus, making him see the Lord before the scales fell from his eyes, struck this man blind in my faith because he walks around and goes, nah, I didn't see anything. And we're like, incredulous. All three of us are just like, oh, yeah, see, we didn't do anything. And dude's like, all right, we all get out of here. And so we all take off. But stop. We don't even leave the building. My buddy's like, stop, everybody in the bathroom. I got to wipe my ass. So we go in so he can finish. And I don't know why the other two of us were like, yeah, we'll hang out in here in the bathroom with you. We all duck into the bathroom. He goes into the handicap stall because it's the roomiest. And we didn't think we'd be disturbed.
Yeah.
And he finishes. Like, he hadn't finished. So he finishes, wipes his ass. And he's like, ah, that was terrible. Because I had to run down the hall without my unwiped ass. So he wipes his ass, mops up, and we all take off, got away scot-free. But it's decidedly fucked up. I mean,
yeah. That's amazing y'all got away with that.
Yeah, I can't believe
it. You literally got away with that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a fucking idiot as a kid. Some dumb shit.
What school was this?
Not important.
Not important.
I mean, that janitor's probably dead by now. That was like 20 years ago.
I think the statutes of limitations.
It was longer than that. It was like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
The life expectancy
of a janitor is not that long.
No, I mean, he was probably in his 40s.
Yeah, he's probably at the time. Now. All those cleaning fumes and, you know, cleaning up.
And bent over. It's not bad for your back.
And cleaning up kids' vomit and shit like that.
And smoking all the dope you steal from the lockers.
Yeah, that's not good.
So with that, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm Jeremy White.
And you've been dorked.
You've been dorked.
Yeah. So it was a school quite near to here, actually. Because because I grew up here. And
it's a terror.
Yeah. They have a big open area in the back.
Shit.
It has like TVs and stuff mounted up on it. It's really nice. But it's like a general congregation area. I guess the statute of limitations are shit. Plus, it's a juvenile. plus it's a misdemeanor. It's a misdemeanor at best. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's at most it's a misdemeanor. Maybe up to the court every time you show up and get like community service.
Yeah.
And probably at the school. Clean it back. Goodbye, folks.